All right, so I was asked to speak about, it's called the purity of heart, and where this is coming from is mainly Psalm 51. So when, you know, the one we pray every hour in the Akbaya, and the main verse, or like our main focus tonight, hopefully, would be when David said, "Create in me a clean heart." And what we want to try to get to today is actually discuss what a pure heart or a clean heart is, like what are the characteristics of a person who has a clean heart. And then after that, we want to try and discover what the blessings of having a pure heart is or are. And then after that, I want to take some practical steps on how to achieve or how to attain a pure and clean heart on our own, or like, yeah, not on our own, but you know what I mean. Anyways, so first of all, just to introduce what this is about, every person in life in general, like we all have our objectives and our goals that we want to try to achieve in our lifetime, and just as well as, you know, we put so much focus and so much effort into gaining our goals or our objectives. When really, this is all good, that's fine. But really, like, as a Christian person, every single Christian anywhere in the world should have this simple but crucial objective, which needs, like, we need to work on to achieve in our life, and that is to have a pure heart. Because without having a pure heart, we will not enter the kingdom, very plainly. Okay, so how does this work? And I'm not saying that this should be an objective, I'm saying that this must be an objective for every single Christian person. If I ask you what a clean heart is, what answers would you give me? Distracted? Okay.
Constant repentance.
That's good. I like that one. What else? There's like tons of stuff. Like, there's no wrong, right or wrong answer. Like, I just wanna make this interactive. Like, I'm not gonna change this. Kind of else does this? Pure heart. So not distracted. In a state of constant repentance. So these are all good answers, but there's like there's more stuff to it, and we're gonna try to discover this together. So I wanna discuss like three aspects. So what it is to have a clean heart or a pure heart, what are the blessings of having one, and then eventually practical steps on how to get there. So first of all, if we wanna let's start discussing what are the blessings of having a pure heart. Just, you know, just to get you in the mood, hopefully. So, quite simply, when Christ was on the mountain, you know, like the Sermon on the Mount, he said it very clearly. Blessed are they shall see. If I have a pure heart and it says, like, if I have a pure heart, I'm going to see God. What does that mean? Do I, like, see him plainly in front of me? Like, do I see visions? What exactly does that mean? You see God in the world, like, around you, okay? Like, in other people? And can we say also that you can see God in circumstances? A lot of times, you know, like when people go through like whatever circumstances they go through, like whether it's a sickness or like something that worked out for me or like whatever it is, the world teaches us to say, oh, I got lucky and things worked out, or like things happened in a certain way that everything was fine at the end. But really, like a person who has a pure heart that can see God, can actually see God's hand working and being like, you know, live in their lives, okay? So that's one thing. I can see God in the circumstances, what else? Okay, so we're not gonna see him like at the end, okay? That too. So, I don't know if this is gonna be a shocker to you or not, but when I was preparing, and I was listening to one of the fathers in church, he actually said that having a pure heart, like a person that has a pure heart is going to see God. It actually does mean that we will see God. How? Well, first of all, a lot of people that we read about or hear about do have visions, okay? And it's not necessarily a dream. It can be like an actual appearance. And we've seen this like throughout the Bible, you know? Like in the Old Testament, there were appearances of like the sun, you know, like the hypostasis, the second hypostasis, to many people, like Jacob, for instance, or Daniel, or like whoever it is. And then even in our like modern days, a lot of people that we don't necessarily notice or don't know much about actually have some experiences with God that are quite, you know, wow. Like, I can personally recall like an older lady that I knew, and she passed away. But like I used to go visit her a lot of times, and I never noticed, you know, that she was way up there. Until actually, like she had a lot of secrets with God that she only revealed to her older brother for some reasons. But I'm not going to give details as to who that person is because like I might give it out, but. In her last stages of life, and she was a person with a very pure heart. Like, if I give you an example of like the things, like when she first entered university when she was younger, one day she came back home to her parents and like she started crying and like she was like distraught and like she was, you know. So like her parents asked her like, what's going on? And it was for the most simple reasons ever. Like she said like one of my colleagues lied at university, like during class or whatever. To us, this is like, this is normal. Everybody lies, everybody's, you know, like we don't necessarily say the truth like all the time. I personally, like, I could be lying anytime. But like, but to her, because she has such a pure heart, that was a big deal. So just to give you an idea, in her last days, she actually, like she was sick. And so I don't know if you've been around the person who has cancer. But like in the last stages, you know, it becomes very painful, and there's like some, you know, decrease. Like, you know, there's an attack of like pain that comes and goes. So when these attacks used to come right before and during the attack, she would see like she was bedridden, like in her room, and like she would actually see the roof of her room open, and she would see heaven, and there was such a consolation to her in that stressful and painful time. Okay, so we could see God in visions and in dreams, but also, as you said, we can see God in the circumstances around us, and also we can see God in the people around us. So basically, having a pure heart and having pure eyes. We don't see the bad in people, but we see Christ in everyone. Okay, another blessing of having a pure heart. What time do we have to finish? Where's that? What time do you guys usually finish? Having a pure heart also entails that I bring forth fruit. In what sense? You know, when Christ was speaking to his disciples and the people following him, he said, we know the tree by its fruit, okay? Basically, if I know that this is like, if I see a tree and I come and I see fruit, like I see a mango or I see an apple, I know that this tree is an apple tree or this tree is a mango tree. But But if I see a tree with a lot of leaves, but like no fruit, I don't know where it comes from or what it is. Like, you know, there's no history. So in the same sense, a person who has a pure heart brings forth fruit. What does that mean? Quite simply, we strive and we put a lot of effort on like trying to stop certain sins, okay? Like we always come and confess the Abuna, and like we always have, you know, and sometimes we feel like we're being repetitive. We always have the same sins, the same downfalls. And like at some points, like we, you know, it becomes annoying to us. Not the Abuna, you know, but like we always feel that, you know, like what am I gonna go tell like Talabuna, like the same stuff. It happens every day, like, and I keep confessing the same stuff, you know, there's no progress, there's nothing at all. So if I actually take the time to focus and like understand why this is happening, it's because I'm trying to fix the outside. I'm trying to stop doing the sin without actually like going to the causes of the sin. It's like a person who has a certain sickness with some symptoms. So like the symptoms could include headache, like a fever, or a runny nose, whatever. So I take the medications to fix the symptoms, but like I didn't get myself checked up to see what the sickness that's causing these symptoms is. In the same sense, if I try to stop, for instance, like I have this habit of like cursing a lot, or I get angry very easily, whatever it is, I can put a lot of effort on stopping the sin, fixing the symptoms. I don't guarantee that this is gonna bring a lot of fruit, might not be successful, and I'm gonna keep confessing the same stuff. If I wanna progress, I need to work on my heart. I need to have a pure heart. So a person that has a pure heart, or who's on the path of having a pure heart, is gonna see fruit. They're gonna see progress in their spiritual lives. So that's one thing. Another thing also, a person who has a pure heart does not have trouble keeping the commandments. In other words, sometimes we feel that the commandment is a bit burdensome. Like, love your enemies, seriously, you know? That's like nonsense. Sometimes we feel like that. Sometimes we also feel like, I don't know, like I'm walking the street, it's as if like Christ was telling me, or he actually is telling me, if I'm walking the street and somebody curses me, because for whatever reason, like in Egypt, like people would get cursed because they have like a cross, whatever, okay? And in that same moment or instant, when this is happening to me, I'm supposed to say, God bless you, thank you very much. And like, I hope like, you know, and I ask God like for, you know, forgive him, he doesn't know what he's doing. It sounds very lovey-dovey, but in practice, it's really tough. But I'll tell you of a person, or a character in the Bible, King David. King David, we have a lot of details about his personality in the Bible, and rightly so. The purpose is for us to know all the aspects of that person. In what sense? We know that he was a king. We know that God said about him that he has a heart after my own heart. We know a lot of good stuff about him, but we also know his downfalls. We know his weaknesses. We know his sins, a lot of stuff. So it's a full picture of that character. Why? Since God personally testified that King David has a heart after his own heart, then we know that King David has a pure heart. Okay, but what happened? We know that King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, for instance, one of his sins. But we're gonna get to that point. He had continuous repentance. This point on the side, so since King David had a pure heart, what he ended up doing is, you know that for a big part of his life, he was like an outcast. He was running away from King Saul, who was trying to kill him. But what's funny or weird in the story is that when King Saul died, or he was killed in war, King David actually cried, and he actually felt bad. And like he wrote a whole poem about King Saul. This guy was like your enemy. He was running after you for like a few years. He was trying to kill you, and he almost did a few times. And like when he dies, you know, you're supposed to rejoice. You're supposed to be happy. You know, like it was a nightmare that's over. But no, he was actually very, very, very sad. So that's an example of keeping the commandment, and it came to him naturally. Like, he didn't have to put effort into, like, crying over King Saul. You know, like, he didn't say, okay, I'm going to focus on crying now, it's going to happen. No, it's very natural. So a person that has a pure heart, they're going to find themselves following Christ's commandments very naturally, effortlessly. And then the result of this is that at some point, I'm going to be Christ-like, hopefully. And, like, this is, like, our objective, all of us. When I become Christ-like, I become a light to those who are around me. Like, we all have our own micro-societies, you know, our friends, people at work, at university, whatever it is. When we keep Christ's commandments, we are changed from glory to glory, like St. Paul says, and then eventually we become Christ-like, and we become a beacon of light in our micro-societies. What else? I'm going to try not to dwell on this point too much, but... One more point. A person who has a pure heart is going to find themselves that when they pray, their prayers are answered. Why do we say this? I'll give you examples. Well, first of all, in the book of Jeremiah, if you guys open Jeremiah 29:13, I'm not sure about the verse, but it's Jeremiah 29. God was speaking to Jeremiah, and he's telling him, you know, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me, okay? Or, I'm rephrasing it, but the verse is, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. So a person who has a pure heart, obviously, is going to find Christ, i.e., when I pray, my prayers are answered. An example, Daniel the prophet. At some point, I think it's chapter 9 or 10, he starts a prayer, like he says a very long prayer in Mishafi, and then at the end of his prayer, Archangel Michael appears to him, and he tells him, the minute you started your prayer, like you just opened your mouth and you were about to say something, the command came forth from God. He answered you. He didn't even, like, he didn't tell him, okay, like, after your prayer, you know, we thought it was cute and, like, whatever you said was nice, so God decided he's gonna, you know, no, the minute you opened your mouth. So a person with a pure heart, they reach this level of answered prayers. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. So quickly to sum up this point, the blessings of having a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Okay, they shall see God. What else? They're going to keep the commandments effortlessly. They're going to bring forth fruit. Then their prayers will be answered. Now, the second point and third point, like, I'm going to mix them together. When we discuss the characteristics of a pure heart, we're going to immediately or automatically know what it is that I need to know to do or to work on in order to reach the state of having a pure heart. First of all, a person who has a pure heart is very upright. What does that mean? Have their intentions in the right place? Explain. They have good intentions, okay. That's okay, that's one thing. Let me give you an example. In the Old Testament, when the people of Israel came out of Egypt, they fought against a few nations. One of them was called the Moabites. And these guys had a king called Balak. What Balak did, he heard about all the mighty things that God had done to the people of Israel, you know, like parting the sea and like weird stuff. So he was kind of freaking out. So he heard of a guy called Balaam, who was like some kind of prophet. So he went and he told him, you know what, I'm going to pay you money if you come and curse that people for me, because I'm afraid. Like, you know, I don't want them to destroy my nation like they did with everybody else. So Balaam said no the first time. So the second time, Balak sends him more people, more money, more, you know, he's like, he's trying to lure him into cursing the people. Balaam said no. The third time, he sends more people, more money, and he tells him, come and curse the people. So this time, he's like, okay, I'm going to come, and then we'll see what God says. So he went, and like three times in a row, he looked at the people from one angle, like from a mountain, and like he wanted to curse them, but he didn't. He actually blessed them, because God didn't allow him to. So he's like, okay, maybe if you come from this angle and like do sacrifices here, I'm going to be able to curse them. So they move, and then they do some sacrifices, and then he's about to speak. He blesses them again. This happens for three times. So back to having an upright heart. Obviously, clearly, Balaam did not have any standards. What I mean by this is, he said, no, I'm not going to curse these people. And then he's like, I'll give you $1,000. No, I don't curse these people. I'll give you $3,000. No. And then, like, I'll give you $10,000. You know what, I'll just come, you know, like, I don't like, you know, disappointing people, and like, you look like a nice guy. Okay, let's see what God has to say about this. No standards. The heart is not upright. And what this leads to is having some sort of duality. I have a double life. Another example, to make the picture a bit clearer, Samson. Samson was a guy called a Nazarite. Nazarite means not from Nazareth, but like, Nazarite means he's consecrated. So he has to, like, he can't cut his hair. He can't drink wine or any, like, strong drink. He can't get married or sleep with a woman that's not an Israelite. They had, like, some sort of, like, rules. Okay, if you're a Nazarite, this is what you do, this is what you don't do. But Samson kept the outward appearance. He kept his hair and his strength and whatever. But, like, inside, he was like, all over the place. Not to say that he's, you know, like, I'm not worthy to speak about him, but like, he had this thing that got fixed eventually. But he had like an affair with Delilah and another woman from I don't know where, and like he used to drink. And, like, you know, he wasn't really following the rules except for the outward appearance. So there's some sort of duality. Also, in the same sense, like, oftentimes we find that we have this duality in our lives. Like in church, or like the deacon that's like, you know, wearing the tonia and like the badrashin and like our Father who art in heaven, and you know, like we're like saints, we're flying. And then we come out of here and like we're sitting in like a coffee shop or something, and like all we do is like gossip and say bad stuff. Duality. So this is a sign of a pure heart. Characteristic of a pure heart is having an upright heart. Standards, no duality. What I do here is what I do outside is what I do everywhere. Second thing or characteristic of a pure heart is, somebody said it, constant repentance. Like what? King David. King David, in the same Psalm 51, he starts out with, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. And then he says, my sin is ever before me. And then he says, create in me a clean heart. This is somebody who's in a constant repentance mode. So what is required of us to attain a pure heart is to be in this constant state of repentance. How is this achievable? Is it achievable? Asking you guys. Well, a state of constant repentance means, like in your house, you know, like when you find a place that's dusty, or like something that needs to be cleaned, you clean it right away. You don't wait for, hopefully, you don't wait for people to come visit and then you clean. You know, like it's a constant state. I can't live in a house that's like in disorder and like that's not clean. In the same sense, when we're outside, like in an outing or something, like I'm wearing a nice suit or whatever, a nice dress, and like I was eating like spaghetti or something, and then like I have sauce on my clothes. You know, I'm not gonna stay the whole event, you know, sitting there with my sauce on. I'm gonna try and go fix it. In the same sense, if I leave my sins accumulate, it's gonna be so much harder, so much tougher, so much stickier to get rid of them. But if I'm in a constant state of, you know, like, I'm aware of what I'm doing, like I keep a close watch on what I'm doing, on myself, then this is a constant state of repentance. Like I'm always like on the watch, on the lookout. Okay, something happened. Like I said this, I did this, I looked this, like, you know, I didn't have like pure thoughts or whatever. When I'm constantly on the lookout, then I'm able to offer repentance that's continuous. And that's the thing that differentiates, you know, a normal person and a saint. A saint is not somebody who was like, you know, born as a saint. It's not somebody who doesn't sin, not at all. A saint is like King David. He committed adultery. Nathan the prophet comes to him. He's like, somebody, this, you know, like he tells him a parable. And like King David is like, how dare he do this? And then Nathan tells him, you're the one who did that. Immediately, repentance. The minute I realize I did something, I messed up, I offer repentance. The state of constant repentance is what allows me to gain a pure heart eventually. What else? Characteristics of a pure heart. Somebody said, like, it doesn't hold a grudge against people, right? That's also one of the things. You know, like St. Paul in his epistle to Corinthians, he's like speaking about love, Corinthians 13. It's a very famous chapter. So he says something about love, and he says, it doesn't, or it thinks no evil. In the same sense, a person with a pure heart thinks no evil and holds no grudges against people. Thinks no evil means, like, I walk into church on Sunday morning, whatever, and then I see a friend, and like I'm like, hey, how's it going? And they're like, hey. And they just like run. A person with a pure heart would say, oh, maybe they're like in a hurry. Maybe they, I don't know, like they're meeting somebody. Maybe they have an exam tomorrow, so they're like they need to leave right away. Whatever it is, you know, like I'm gonna make up 1,000 excuses to explain why he or she said hi in a very weird way. A person that does not have a pure heart is gonna hold a grudge and then start making up 1,000 reasons for why this person is starting, like, you know, didn't say hi properly, but like in a negative sense. Like, you know, like you can start saying all kinds of things. You could say like, maybe this, you know, this girl spoke to her about me, about the things I did, Mshaf Imta, like 2 days ago, and like maybe this is why she doesn't want to talk to me, you know, stuff like that. I'm gonna start making up stories in my mind. I make up these stories and I live them. You know, I live with these stories. I'm gonna start holding a grudge against this person and that person and this person and that person, and it's gonna start building up. If I keep a close watch, I think no evil. Then this is all like, I take things simply. You know, I don't make up stories. What else? Yeah, there's tons of things. Along this line of like holding a grudge or something. Does not envy. Okay. I want to go further. Does that, yeah. Is content. It has peace and contentment and submission. Right? Why am I saying it this way? A person who has a pure heart is gonna be completely surrendering, and like he's, it's gonna be in, like, they're gonna be in a complete submission to whatever like Christ has planned for their lives. You know, go here, go there, move there, serve in this, serve in that. It's all the same to me. You know, like for example, very very obvious example, Saint Mary. Saint Mary never had, you know, like personal preferences. I want to do this. I want to stay here. I don't want to travel. You know, I don't want to run away. Whatever. I don't want to marry this guy who's like 90. Whatever. You know, she was do this, do that, do this, do that. She lived in complete peace and surrender and submission. That's a sign of a pure heart. What else? A pure heart does not judge. I give you a story from the Desert Fathers. There's a saint called Amba Pemwa. Okay, he was like a senior father. And then he had like his disciples, like the monks. And one of them, when he walked into church, was like nonchalant. Like, you know, he's not very serious. When he walks in, like sometimes he sleeps in liturgy. Like he's not always paying attention. He's like always like leaning on the wall like this. So his fellow monks were kind of annoyed. And they're like, they started boiling. And then they went to Amba Pemwa, and they're like, see this monk? Like he's, you know, like it's supposed to be like a military here, you know? Like he's supposed to be like tough, you know, the tough life. But this guy, like, he just walks in, like, he leans on the wall, and, like, sometimes he sleeps, and, like, we hear him snore, and, like, stuff like that. So, you know, like, we want to see what, you know, like, what you're going to do. Because, like, monks should not do this. And, like, they're all waiting for, like, his reaction. And then his reaction was like, oh, he sleeps. I'm going to make myself as a pillow to him. For him to rest his head. What he meant by this was to tell all these monks, like, they're all saints. You know, like I'm not saying anything bad about them. I'm just like saying the story. But he wanted to teach them, you know, that a pure heart does not judge. I'm not supposed to be judging the people around me. I'm supposed to be focusing on what I'm doing, where I'm heading, where I'm coming from, you know, all that stuff. If I focus on myself, I have no time to judge people. If I focus on having a pure heart, I have no time to judge people. What else? Other ideas? We're almost done. Just one more point. So we said a pure heart is a heart that's upright, that doesn't succumb or give in to circumstances. Like whatever standards we have are the same standards we're going to have in and out of church or anywhere we go to. No duality. What else? We said a pure heart does not hold a grudge or think evil. A pure heart does not judge. A pure heart is in constant repentance. And then the last thing. Yes. So, a person with a pure heart, like we said, is going to have no trouble keeping the commandments. And when we talk about the commandments, you know, like the cornerstones. Praying and giving alms, for instance, is going to be very easy. And actually, like a lot of fathers encourage people, you know, like if you want to gain a pure heart, then maybe you should experience or try to work on having mercy and having compassion on the people around you. So, like in Canada, you know, like it's not always obvious, you know, like we don't have a lot of, we do have homeless people, for instance, but it's not, you know, we don't have slums, like we don't have like poor villages to go, you know, visit and like whatever, you know. But there's always like an opportunity to do something. there's always an opportunity to go out of my way, you know, like give of my time to somebody who's in trouble, like who needs to talk or whatever. I can give from, there's tons of stuff that we can give, you know, like if we start like listing them, we're not going to finish. But the blessing of giving can actually change your heart, you know, from a hardened heart to a heart that's like feels and has compassion on people. And a very, very like simple example is Amba Braham. He's one of the bishops, like he's in a 20th century. He's one of the bishops. He was the bishop of Fayum in Egypt. And this man was like known for giving, you know. Whatever money he got as donations or like whatever money he had in his pocket, if anybody went to ask him for money, he would just like pull out of his pocket and give it, you know, without counting. And like this man, wow, like he like, you know, when you get to the state of a pure heart, then as we said, like your prayers are answered. You have the state of like clairvoyance, you know, yeah, you see visions, like, you know, you do stuff like, and God performs miracles through you. And that was in the 20th century. This was not like in the 3rd century, the 4th century. So it's very possible to live these values and these virtues nowadays, because there are examples out there. So to conclude, I want to dwell more on, so just to recap, the blessings of having a pure heart are many. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And then we keep the commandments effortlessly. We don't need to put a lot of effort. We have peace and surrendering and submission. And like we don't feel bad for doing stuff. You know, we don't feel like we're going out of our comfort zone to do things for Christ. It just comes naturally. Our prayers are answered. And then characteristics we discussed, having an upright heart, not being a dual person, no dualities, and in a constant state of repentance. And I want to dwell more on this point, because there's something that came to mind. The constant state of repentance is what, you know, like is what allows me to keep my heart in order, to cleanse it. And then if I'm sincere in my repentance, you know, like St. John in his epistle, he's like, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Very simple. Just confess your sins. Like, and if I don't have an opportunity to sit with my father confession, then like it has to be automatic. You know, like when I go home or like when my day is over and I sit with myself, I do like my, you know, like my, I don't know what to call it, but like, the word for it. Sorry? Evaluation. Thank you. So when I sit with myself and evaluate myself, and then I found that I did this and I did that, and I know that this is not pleasing to Christ, then there's no harm done in saying sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, I upset you, I disappointed you. Like, I don't want to say like I promise I won't do this again, because like this is not in my hands. But what I'm going to say is like, Lord, I need your help in this. And when I confess my sins, you know, obviously I need to sit with my father confession, but like I'm not going to, you could do this every day, but like in practice in our modern society, it's not always easy. But if I can't do this every day, then when I do my personal evaluation at the end of the day, I offer a repentance that's continuous. And if I confess my sins, then I need to be sure and rest assured that if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive. And when he forgives, he forgets. And then one last thing to help you, or to help us walk on this path of purity of heart, is actually to keep anything that would cause me to stumble away from me. Whether it's like through the eyes, whether it's through the ears, any one of my senses. Like if I know that I'm going on an outing with people and like we sit there and like all we do is usually gossip, then there's no need for me to go on this outing. If I know that when I hang out with this group of people, you know, they're good friends, they're very nice, I'm not judging, but I'm just saying like when I sit with them I feel that I get dragged away into, like, you know, hearing bad jokes or like we say dirty stuff, and like all that stuff causes me to stumble, you know? Like, I'm a human being, I have my weaknesses. I'm not gonna be able to resist, you know, 100% of the time. So why expose myself? If I try to keep myself from anything that causes me to stumble, obviously, I'm gonna be working on having a pure heart. Any questions? You guys wait.
Okay, thank you, Amir. You know Amir for sure now. Amir from Montreal. He was my best friend in Montreal because we was working together. We were working together at the same company. Yeah.